Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Nice to see you this morning. So what is Prajnaparamita? What is perfect wisdom? Our ordinary human consciousness, you could say that it takes two tracks, or there are two aspects. One is perception, where the mind is just reflecting like a mirror perfectly. And the other is projection. That's when you are, as Sungsan Sunim would say, making. Don't make. Don't know. Just perceive. So how do you tell the difference? One is like pure light. The other is seeing a mirage off in the distance and not really sure you're seeing what you think you're seeing. So we assume, because of our habit energy we've developed around causes and conditions of our life, that we have to take certain steps. So one of the things we have to undo when we begin to practice is to think that we're doing something. So when you're meditating like your hair's on fire, you're not doing. You're not projecting. You're very sincerely just perceiving what is. So sitting can be daydreaming or it can be perceiving. Prajnaparamita. Sometimes we use analogies like waves on an ocean, and when things settle down, things become clear and you can see the bottom. Well, that settling down when we're sitting is getting into a state of what is called just this, or just sitting. No projecting, no wanting it to be something that it's not. The Heart Sutra has it all right there. No beginning, no end. Perceiving is timeless. Time is part of our projection. So with nothing to attain, the Bodhisattva relies on Prajnaparamita, perfect wisdom. Here's the other thing that's really confusing about our existence and our minds. When we identify, then we have this and that. When we're perceiving, there's non-duality, no separation. When we talk about someone being insightful, what does that mean? How can they be insightful? Certainly not by living in a mirage, but having a mind that is clear like space, just reflecting, then they can be insightful. So these are just words, and I hope it's helpful. Twist your mind around a little, make it difficult to wrap your head around it, because we can't wrap our head around it. It's just our head. It's only momentary. There's nothing permanent about it. sometimes it itches. Our true self, big self, has no beginning, no end. Nothing to lose, nothing to gain. But my head itches. My back's a little sore this morning. And I'm somewhat troubled. So who's this I? It's kind of like a puppet on a string. Big mind, original nature, awakening. And then we're sharing the blessings of just this with everyone and everything. Questions, comments?
Yes, thank you, Will, for your talk. I seem to vacillate between the two, never being able to stick in the Prajnaparamita, because the force or the magnetic pull of my projection seems to win out quite often or overcome my ability to stay clear-like space. And I think part of that is just human nature or my nature, that when it comes to emotions versus, rational thinking, for lack of a better way to put it, my mind is usually overtaken by my emotions. So hopefully, I'll come to the right answer. I'll do the right thing.
Yeah. So a description of a problem is not the problem. Perception of the problem is the solution. So wisdom is seeing things clearly. So in the beginning of your description here in particular, talking about, going in and out of habit energy and the difference, how you fall back into projection, all of that was wisdom. All of that was just saying, this is what my experience is from this observation. So Prajnaparamita is not saying this is right, that is wrong, that's dualistic. It's seeing, yes, of course there's a projection going on here. Of course there's habit energy. There's a whole life of experience where I've invested in a particular view of myself and the world. And of course that comes up. And of course that's right there in my face. And of course there's emotional attachment and all of that. But that's not who I am, you see? It's when you're acting out, out of the projections without seeing them for what they are, that you get yourself and those around you in trouble. That's that codependency thing, right? It's like you're not really conscious of it. It's an almost an automatic response to what's happening from that habit energy. So awakening is seeing your habit energy. So that's why they say there's no difference between a Buddha and an ordinary being. There's no difference. It's just Prajnaparamita. It's awakening. We strive for perfection. It's not a good idea. Get you in trouble every time. Fart when you have to fart. Don't hold it back because you're afraid you're going to embarrass somebody. We just have to be real with ourselves. So I'm not trying to make light of it, your situation or anything, of course. I'm just making light of our attitude towards ourselves, you know, how seriously we attempt to own our stuff. If that makes any sense.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I can see Michael thinking down there.
Yeah, I'm really kind of chewing on what you're saying today.
Oh, good.
So, because the definition of insight prior to my semi-understanding of Buddhist definition of insight is that you're kind of gaining, you're kind of putting together the pieces and you're learning something from digesting information. That's the traditional term of insight. But in the Buddhist sense, insight seems to be seeing things for what they are and not necessarily reacting. Am I correct? Right? Mm-hmm. That insight is saying, I see what this is, and I'm not taking a particular, I'm not identifying with a binary, correct?
Yeah, well, insight, and when you're not identifying, is wisdom.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so insight is like, you know, the light. It's the light. So when you have... when you don't understand, when you're lost in the situation and you don't really understand what's going on there, there's like a cloud or clouds covering it. But the clouds are not real, you see. They're not permanent. They're not something that is, because the light is still there. The sun is still there. You just don't momentarily see it. So insight is the parting of the clouds and the seeing it, the light again for what it is. It's like, oh, those were just clouds.
Right. I guess I was thinking of like, how is it possible to have insight if you're just reflecting? Like if you're just reflecting what is, then how is it possible to have insight? But I think I was conflating the term insight for the choosing one path as the answer and not inside is like, oh no, realizing that it just is the insight in and of itself. And I think I just kind of was stapled in there this morning. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another way that to describe projecting, thinking, you know, or wishing you knew. Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Will?
Yes.
I'd like to hear more about the Fart Sutra.
Well said.
Yeah, any other wisecracks here today? Oh, we're getting back. We're really going down. This is beginning to sound like a koan that I know, you know?
I do apologize.
What is Buddha nature? Shit on a stick.
Oh, Will, one thing I wanted to ask you. So what is, I was reading Dropping Ashes on the Buddha. What is cats? Like, I understand why they do it, but why that word? Like, what is that word?
Well, like this. Cats!
Okay. I didn't realize it was that yelled like that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the same as
just that, or what I just did.
Yep. Okay, got it. Sorry, I just I was like, I was reading the letters as they were, and not
right
what they represented.
Yeah, that's easy to do. That's very easy to do. So thank you all for spending some time with me. Is there anything else before we go? All right. Peter, wonderful to see you as always. And everyone else, thank you for being with me this morning. Be well. Have a good day.